listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Coming up next is Hour of the Wolf, and this is Ken Gale subbing for Jim Freund. And we just had a great political victory today, and that's what we'll be talking about. So stay tuned. And that was the Hayride Casualties with their Natural Gas song. And I'm really kind of surprised that I'm doing a show like this. Normally when Jim Freund asks me to sub for Hour of the Wolf, I talk about comic books and science fiction. Something I'm into and something I know something about and fits Jim's audience. And I but today, at about 1:30 or so, the governor of New York announced that there's going to be a permanent ban on fracking. It's going to be extended. And, of course, fractivists have been working on this issue for years and years and years. And a victory so hard fought is something to celebrate. And Jim felt, why not celebrate it? And I have with me Kevin, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kevin O'Neill. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you, Ken, on this historic day. It's a little after my bedtime, but wow, what an amazing opportunity! I hope I can help help get people excited about this incredible story if they're not already aware of it.
Why don't you go into detail about that while I get that little video that you showed me?
Oh yeah, well, you know, I work in the renewable energy business and the solar business up in Westchester, and I was actually getting a tire fix when I got a phone call from a woman, Michelle Solomon, who works in the Rockland Coalition Against Fracking, and she was just breaking the news to me. I mean, in the morning, I had been talking about, I'd been posting on Facebook about, you know, the inside scoop was that Governor Cuomo was likely to approve some test wells, and that was getting a lot of people panic-stricken. So it was just a tremendous relief to hear that our governor had taken the stance that he did today. And I haven't had a chance to really follow a lot of the news because I was working full-time at that time, so I'm learning, as it breaks for a lot of other people at the same time.
I know when I was getting the emails all day that people thought, oh, he's going to announce which counties are being sacrificed and things like that. And when I saw the news on an email, my first thought was, I said, how cynical I am. Somebody was being overly optimistic. And I really thought that. Cuomo said something that was, kind of wishy-washy, and you could take it either way, and somebody was taking it in the best possible way. And that's not what happened. The health department announced that they recommended a ban on fracking, and the governor announced that he was taking up that ban, and it really happened. And I'm still somewhat amazed. I really am. And we have another guest about to join us, so while I bring them in, let's play the music about... this would be much more fitting if I play this music, except the darn computer is not responding. Nope. All right. Bear with me this all night, overnight, live radio.
Hello. Please.
Hello.
Hello.
All right, our second guest has arrived. Yeah, sit next to Kevin, Donna. Oh. So I can look at both of you.
What a night, huh? What a day. It's good to see you, Donna.
So I was just talking about how cynical I was and not believing that... we actually won. and thinking somebody was being overly optimistic. And then, of course, the emails started coming in fast and furious from a lot of different people. And I realized this was real. And now, Donna, you were there, weren't you?
Where were you?
Yeah.
Where are you coming from?
Thank you. I went to the victory party at Cuomo's New York City place. I'm telling you, we had a large group of people.
Is this the 4 o'clock or the 6 o'clock? Like, what time was it?
Four.
Four.
So it was over at 5.
Right.
And I just...
I so wanted to get to that.
Yeah.
I left it about 20 to 5.
That's the broadcast that I just showed you out in the lobby. By Sabrina Artel, an amazing piece of footage.
That was my train of sight, so she must have been right on my left shoulder.
Perfect, absolutely
great.
Perfect. Have you seen it yet? Have you bought?
Of course. I look for myself.
I love it. I hope Ken can get the technology together and share that with the audience.
The Cuomo came down at that point. That's where the footage was. But before that, everybody was just chanting. Al Appleton was there, my hero.
Oh.
It was because of Al Appleton 6-7 years ago. I went to a meeting that Ken Gayle told me to go to to hear about this thing called fracking. And it was like, whoa, from that point forward, New York City Friends of Clearwater, which I'm part of, was on it and talking about it and telling lots of people about it. And it was great. He was dynamic. He's intelligent. Go to YouTube. And
great voice, too. The guy has just a lovely voice.
Go Al Appleton. Yeah, he was the ex-commissioner of DEC.
I snuck a recording of his whole thing and I broadcast it on YouTube. Of a whole thing he did about fracking in New York State. He said there's not going to be fracking in New York State. And his argument was it's a landscape problem. And I was like, what a novel approach. He said it's a landscape problem. It's not going to happen. And like, I believed that, but I didn't really believe it. It wasn't enough, but it turned out,
Hey, wishing sometimes does make it so. Yoo-hoo.
Was Tony Avalo out?
I heard somebody mention
he was somewhere, and he was inspiring. I mean, his politics, I don't understand the whole scene, but he was so inspiring to the audience. I did a day of fracking or whatever, that day of lobbying up in Albany, And he really spoke, I thought, gave a lot of heartfelt encouragement to a lot of people.
And I've got that video up. And now I got to the little rally, the celebration rally in front of Cuomo's office. And for me, there wasn't enough credit to the people who bird-dogged Cuomo all these years. And everybody kept saying, oh, it was thanks to Cuomo that we got this ban. It's like, no, it's thanks to us that we got this ban. It was the environmental activists of New York State and just outside the state, because certainly the people in Pennsylvania who have had their water poisoned helped us out a lot.
Well, yeah, we have to realize, you know, yes, we can thank Cuomo, but he's not doing this because he's a nice guy. He's doing this because we put people pressure on him. We still have to be aware that there is more to do. This is just fracking in New York State. This is huge. But there is still fracking gas coming into New York from other states. There is still infrastructure being built. Did you ever see anything being built that wasn't used? We still have to stop the pipelines. We still have to stop LNG port, Port Ambrose, point of information. Liberty gave Cuomo $25,000 for his campaign. We got a
$25,000. Wait, it must have been more than that.
I know, right? Doesn't sound like enough. We have to get more information than that. But we have to realize that, hey, he's got people he's got to answer to. I mean, he's a politician, right?
Yeah.
So we've got to be aware that there's still a fight to happen. We've got to stop Seneca Lake. We are SenecaLake.com is a good site to go to get more information.
What's
about
Seneca Lake?
They're going to store. They've got to have these precious natural salt caverns. And they want to store natural gas in those caverns. It's
been the site of one of the most, I think, one of the most powerful civil disobedience actions of recent memory. I mean, Sandra Steingraber. I mean, the names are beyond Sandra's. There's some amazing people doing extraordinary work up there in wave after wave of action blocking. Yeah. Blocking access to the construction, you know, to the site for the Seneca Lake storage using the salt caverns,
and the Seneca Lake
butane or whatever the
Seneca Lake is the largest of the Finger Lakes of New York State. It's kind of smack dab in the middle of New York State near Ithaca. It's absolutely gorgeous up there. Highly recommend anybody who wants a quick vacation. Go up there. It's absolutely beautiful. And the wine country is up there. New York wines are internationally renowned, and that's where they come from, the Finger Lakes, especially Seneca, because it's the largest of the Finger Lakes. And there's got a million tourists. I had Dr. Sandra Steingraber on Ecologic last week. Talking about what's going on.
I heard that was a
there.
Great show. I haven't heard listened to the archive.
And
yet.
1,000 people have pledged to do civil disobedience, and there's a lot of people. And this realize when they store fracked gas, radon is mixed in with fracked gas. It's radioactive, and that fracked gas is coming into New York City through the Spectra pipeline. They want to bring it in through the Rockaway Pipeline as well, through up Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn. So just because the New York State has a ban on fracking does not mean that there isn't fracked gas coming into New York State, which is kind of bizarre in its own way.
They say it's only like 5% at this time, like maybe 5% fracked gas coming into our cells. It's like,
I can believe that number.
I don't really. I turned off my gas in my house on November 2nd. So, like, I don't really want a little bit of radiation.
Yeah, I don't even think that's true. I mean, I think the statistic lately is like 70, I could be wrong, but I believe I heard 70% of oil and gas in the continental United States is being developed today by the process of fracking. So, you know, chemicals and water, you know, are being put to use to produce oil you know, in the Bakken Shale. Yeah. You know, they're burning off the gas.
And the Bakken Shale is actually not economically...
Bomb trains. I mean, the bomb trains coming down the Hudson, I believe.
What's a bomb train, Kevin?
Oh, a bomb train are train car after train car after train car of big, giant tanks filled with what is, you know, not normal crude. It's Bakken Shale, which is a higher that has been, you know, has been shown to be, you know, more apt to mishap. And you've got Riverkeeper recently put out a video showing the crumbling infrastructure of the bridges along the Hudson. Really increased numbers of trains passing. I think it's like five a day.
What could possibly go wrong? I mean, it is amazing that they don't have the imagination to realize, you know, what could possibly go wrong, and it seems so strange. But anyway, here's that clip from Cuomo that Kevin put on my Facebook page, as a matter of fact.
You really did a great job of making your voice heard, and that's what democracy is all about.
Yes.
And I actually enjoyed seeing it in action. I know it didn't always seem, that way. Yeah. But, well, because you have to let the process work. And it can't, that's why you act either, right?
Right.
So it's not that I'm going to be responsive to the noise, but I heard it. And the process worked. And I tell you, the health department did a beautiful job.
Yes, they did.
And the DEC did a beautiful job.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Yes,
no, and they took their time, and they did it right, and he knew what he was talking about. And I tell you, the presentation was beautiful, because he said at one point, he went through all these facts and all this technicality, and then he said, when it's a very complex issue, what I would do when I practice medicine is I would say, what would I do with my child?
That was good.
And he said, I would not let my family live in a place that they're doing high volume fracking. And I said, that's good enough for me. That's the answer. Well done. Thank you very much.
That's a good one.
And that was Governor Cuomo in front of his New York City office on 3rd Avenue and 41st Street today at around 5 o'clock. And thank you, Kevin, for sending that to my Facebook page.
Sabrina Artel, I believe, was the videographer.
And definitely deserves credit. She did a good job. And the sound was good enough to play on the radio, so let her know that... she did a good job for that, too. Now, Kevin, you had some interesting comments about what the governor said in that minute and a half.
I mean, I took the time to try to capture exactly what he said, and I'd like to read it because, to me, you know, I think you hear some natural political contradiction going on here. Quote, "You really did a great job of making your voice heard, and that's what democracy's all about," he said. "And I actually enjoyed seeing it in action. I know it didn't always seem that way, but you have to let the process work. And it can't be because people yell, that's why you act either, right? So it's not that I'm going to be responsive to that noise, but I heard it. And the process worked." groan? I mean, am I wrong to groan? There's a little groan effect going on there. I mean, thank you, Governor Cuomo. Bless your heart. I think you've taken a step. I mean, you know, I've always had this feeling that my God, New York State could take a leadership position and really say, you know what, to heck with all this really sloppy fracking monstrosity behavior that's causing upheaval in so many lives. Why don't we just carve out a niche for our state where we're gonna take a test. We're gonna get together. We're gonna put our funds, our investments, our resources, our money into renewable energy, into solar, into wind, into geothermal. You know, whatever into science, into really putting people to work to mitigate create the great waste of energy. I mean, I think it was you, Ken, said the other day, the average home has a square yard of wind blowing through it.
Yeah, I was quoting Amy
Lovins. I know that. I've got a house that's a nightmare. And why is it still, you know, losing so much heat energy? Because I have never been able to afford that particular expense. I should have a long time ago, but like a lot of people, you know, you cut wherever you think you can cut, and mm-hmm. I haven't done that yet, and it's killing me.
Yeah, I went to I went to hear a talk tonight of people who are doing work with outfitting people's homes that can't afford it. I'll put you in
insulation,
touch with
Kevin. Yeah.
Yeah, and they will analyze your home. Sometimes, if your income is under $125,000, they'll do it for free.
Yeah, but I think we should, as a people, we ought to say, look, all of this energy is being blown out the whatever. Let's create a jobs initiative that just takes care of this and just methodically
sure.
moves through the low-hanging fruit of the obvious candidates and just do it.
It was El Puente, all right?
El Puente.
Organization in the Bronx. A social justice, environmental justice organization.
Good group, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, Kevin, what you were just saying, there... I did a conversation with Lindsay Auden. Lindsay Auden is one of the top energy consultants.
Say the name again?
Lindsay Auden.
Okay.
He's one of the top energy consultants in this area. He's from Westchester County. One of my mentors, I used to go to his lectures when I was a young activist in my early 20s.
And how do you spell his last
name? Audin. And when the Quakers had a press conference a few years ago to talk about how much money was spent on the war in Iraq, and what else you could have spent the money on instead, they didn't talk about energy. They talked about teachers, nurses. And so I called Lindsay to find out about energy. And we took the amount of money that the Quakers had added up of all the expenses on the war in Iraq, divided by we took the population of the United States, divided by family size, so we knew how many households there were, took into account multifamily dwellings, and in Westchester, it costs between $8,000 and $15,000 to make a home use about one-third less energy.
Huh.
So we go, okay, let's just take an average of $12,000. You know, not even in the middle. And it turned out that you did not make it to the amount of money spent on the war in Iraq, and that was several years ago, to make every single home in America use one-third less energy. And that doesn't take into account the economy of scale.
Or the cultural problem that we have that puts people using more energy the more we save.
And when people are first learning how to make homes use less energy, it takes a learning curve and it takes a while. And once they know how to do it, of course, it's faster and cheaper. And so with every home in America being done, that economy of scale gets done. The materials will be cheaper because of that amount of materials being used. And so I asked Lindsay, can I safely go on the air and say for the cost of the war in Iraq, every home in America could use less than half the energy they're using now? And he goes, oh, absolutely.
Could you explain war in Iraq? That term, it just means nothing to me. Is that a common thing everyone knows? War in Iraq?
What?
Oh, war in Iraq.
Yes.
I thought you were talking about Warner Iraq.
War in Iraq.
There are terms that we lost. That's okay. There are terms that can go over.
It's a little last minute.
So the guy who's been on the radio since 91 was talking too fast.
My apologies to the audience.
And the point is that instead of spending the money on making every home use less energy so that the people of America have a little more discretionary income, we instead spend that money to invade somebody's country so we can burn their stuff and contribute to climate chaos.
That you just made me think of Naomi Klein's recent suggestion that we go to a 3-day work week. I mean, as a real thing. I haven't studied it, but I mean,
I have not either. That's a very interesting I'd love to read further on that. And by the way, I will be taking your phone calls. This is Hour of the Wolf. Jim Freund is usually here from 1:30 till 3 in the morning every Wednesday night. I guess technically Thursday morning. And I'm subbing for him today. And he graciously said, yeah, talk about the victory you had today. It's Woo! Worth talking about.
It's huge. Really huge.
And
a lot of groups have worked really hard for this.
It's been years and years. When I first did a show on fracking for Ecologic, I didn't even talk about fracking when I talked about the show because most people didn't know the word.
Really?
You know, it's something that we've known about a long time.
It's new to me. I only learned about this in 2012.
And we really have to realize that sometimes we're talking to the choir, sometimes we're talking to all our friends who already know this, but when I was woo-hooing in my lobby as I was leaving the building, there was a woman that said, oh, that's good. What's fracking? He's like, right. Oh, you're still going to, you know, we need
kids
to let
Westchester.
People know.
Kids in Westchester. I see, you know, no. I wear the buttons. They're like, what's fracking? I'm like, wow. But, you know, it's not known. It's still not known.
Really? What is...
In 2009, I did that
There's
show.
A lot of change that's done by a small group of people. We need to... Everybody, any time that you can pitch in and help and do something, believe me, it has a big impact because it doesn't take a large amount of people to make change.
Well, just telling somebody what fracking is a big thing. I mean, clearly people don't know about it.
Talk to your neighbors.
I wear a button with Smokey the Bear on it saying, only you can prevent faucet fires.
Right.
And when I first started wearing that button, people were like, you know, what does that mean?
Yeah, now, it sounds ridiculous.
After I corrected their misreading of it. And so I would explain that because of fracking, a way of drilling for natural gas, with methane, which they call natural gas when they market it, the methane seeps through the water supply, through the cracks in the earth, and gets into the water table, and you can light your water on fire. And there's a lot of video of this on YouTube, and of course in the movie Gasland, where people turn on their faucets, have a lighter, they put it next to the faucet, and boom! It is it's on fire explosively. And this is going on in Ohio, it's going on in Pennsylvania, it's going on in Texas, it's going on in North Dakota, it's going on in a lot of parts of the country.
Well, the stuff that's going on, I mean, the faucet stuff is very visual and frankly very entertaining in a lot of circumstances. The horror, and for those people that have that exact situation, you know, their water is wrecked and they have to do something about it. For a larger number of people, the impact comes in the form of massive heavy industrial activity flowing over small rural towns into communities, and it's just nonstop. I mean, I did the tour. Donovan Richards, the city council member, was on the tour with us. Recently, we did Vera Scroggins' fracking tour in Pennsylvania, and you know, you get out there and you just start experiencing it, and it's roaring. It's like being by an airport. It's being by a heavy industrial facility with nonstop stuff going on. And there's a fella, I can't think of his name right now, whether it's not Fenton, but there's a fella who's got one of these $60,000-$90,000 FLIR cameras, which can detect VOC vapors coming off of the compressor stations, which are required every, you know, 5 or 20 miles along pipelines. And these are facilities that have thousands of horsepower engines roaring away to compress the gas to move it along the pipeline routes to market. And you know, part of the process of running these factories requires that they discharge the waste products that they are, quote, cleaning out of the gas so that it's nice and clean burning when it gets to your stove, except for the radon. and where do those byproducts wind up? They wind up vented out into the atmosphere. And who's monitoring this stuff? That, you know, there's just not a lot being done to monitor what is going off into the food shed, into the watershed of our of our food supply.
Yeah, and let's bring it back home. Every single time you take a shower, be thankful that you can. Be thankful that those chemicals are not pouring into your body, because people in Dish, Texas, and in Pennsylvania, Texas, New Jersey, there's places where people cannot take a shower in their own homes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, every single time you take a shower, run the water. Be grateful.
Don't run it wastefully.
Yeah, Gasland is a great movie on the fracking issue. So is the movie Split Estate, which talks about a couple. It shows their home video of them getting married and moving into the dream house in Colorado, and then the fracking is going on. And by the end of the movie, the wonderful bride in the beginning is talking in subtitles. Because it wrecked her health that badly. She has passed away since that movie came out. This is what fracking does to people.
Did you ever see Triple Divide?
No.
Wonderful film. Josh Pribanak, Melissa Trautman. It's about the headwaters of the three major rivers, and it's about how fracking was impacting. It's just a beautiful film. It's something that, look for it online. I think you can get it online. Beautiful film.
And I should mention that...
terrible subject.
Fracking may have been banned in New York State, but fracking chemicals have not been. And the fracking chemicals are being used for de-icing for winter. And, of course, winter is starting.
Are we accepting wastewater? Are we doing injection wells?
We're still accepting wastewater from Pennsylvania
for the fracking brine.
Yeah, they're calling it brine.
Yeah, isn't that lovely?
So benign. Yeah.
Yeah, you can use it for pickling, right?
Yeah, right.
Brooklyn pickles.
They find their ways of saying these things. Nuclear power plants have been routine emissions. They're not radiation into the air and water. It's just routine emissions. They find their ways. And Donna, you were at a meeting right after the rally outside. And I should mention, you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale, and I am with...
Kevin O'Neill.
Donna Stein. And, there's so much
joy. Which meeting are you talking about?
There's so much joy. People who were at the rally. I showed you the picture.
Right.
I wish I could show you the picture. people were at the rally afterwards. The victory rally. We went to a place to sit down and talk and... have a Guinness.
Any discussion of what to do on the 7th, January 7th?
Well, we were going to make it different people have different thoughts. The idea right now is to maybe cancel it because we've won.
I have an idea.
But I think what we talked about I wouldn't say it's a meeting. We talked about everything we do as a meeting. Every time there's two or three people together, it's a meeting.
A victory breath. We have one breath. Take a breath. Start over.
Was just, what else is there to do? We know this is a victory, but we still have the LNG. We still have the LNG ports that we have to stop. We still have the Algonquin pipeline, the Constitution pipeline. Point of Rose, the struggles are still needs your support. We have fracking gas. We talked about this earlier. We have fracking gas that's coming into the city. We still need to work on. There's so much to do.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of infrastructure, fracking gas infrastructure. The industry is seeking to get the glut of cheap gas where? To foreign markets, I would presume, where they can crank up the value of their assets. I find it enormously complex, so I don't begin to think I have any idea exactly how to address the global situation. When the Saudis decide not to restrict their production, that means that the fracking gas production is less valuable, so it slows fracking gas. So that's lovely, but it also dampens the value of competing renewable energy resources. So, there's all these things are really, really stuck together and complex. I think we have to
And renewables are the way to go. We have to, like, I was talking to a Bronx councilman Saturday night, and he said, look, I'm all for stopping fracking and stopping Indian Point. We need to do that, but you have to tell me what I can tell my people about what we can do instead. They need real... We have to help the electeds help us. They need to know how renewables can help, not just listing them, not just saying solar, wind. How is wind going to help? How is solar going to help? What's going to be built?
Well, wind could help if it's not blocked by an LNG port in our harbor off Jones Beach. I mean,
I spoke to at one meeting. I spoke to a Liberty lawyer.
Uh-huh.
Liberty was giving a presentation.
Folks behind the LNG
out there. Yeah.
Port Amber.
Liquefied natural gas.
And this
plant.
Lawyer's specialty. Sickening it is. It was in wind.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so Liberty is hitting it up by showing that they have experts in wind. All right. They're really bringing out the big guns. Every time they talk with us and they interview us, they're getting more information to come back at us.
Yeah. I would just like to know, like, why people think we should believe we need imported gas when we have a glut of gas.
I don't know if anybody believes that.
The investors are who they have to answer to.
Well, Donna, the stuff you've been saying just sort of reminds me of a song. So let's take a musical break.
Okay.
And after which, let's take some listener phone calls. 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. So call while the song is playing, and so we'll have you ready to go when the song is over.
300 years ago, Sir Thomas More invented the word utopia, where everything was going to be hunky-dory. But now we know it's going to be a green-powered earth, and that'll be solartopia. Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have
think that all of it's a great big warning.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God.
this is the wonderful positive way of approaching the problem. Don't just say don't. Let's say do something good. And this is the most exciting time in the world to be living. There's never been such an exciting time. Mm-hmm. Wind power, sun power.
And that was Pete Seeger and Dar Williams and David Burns and the Rivertown Kids with Solartopia. And I'm Ken Gale, and I'm subbing for Jim Freund's Hour of the Wolf. He's here every Wednesday night, technically Thursday morning, 1:30 to 3. There was just a wonderful environmental victory today at 1:30-ish or thereabouts when Governor Cuomo had the people from the Department of Health announce that they are not going to lift the ban on fracking. People were fearing as recently as 1 p.m. that he was going to actually announce counties he was sacrificing. He was going to sacrifice the water. But instead, the water is being protected permanently, depending, of course, on how the lawsuits go.
Yeah.
If the Trans-Pacific Partnership is passed, that may undo something.
Right.
We don't really know exactly what the future will bring, but right now, the future looks pretty good. And people were calling during the music, and lost them. We have one person here on the line. Hampton.
Yes.
Welcome to WBAI. Morning.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for the show. You guys mentioned three movies about fracking. I think that's a good way for people to learn more about fracking. You said Gasline, Split Estate, and Triple Divide. Do you have any more movies that people can watch that would educate them about fracking?
Is Gasland?
Yeah, it's not Gasline, it's Gasland.
And Gasland 2. There's already a sequel out.
And Dear Governor Cuomo, I think John Bauermaster has a film, and he's working on actually Dear President Obama, because President Obama's all of the above strategy includes encouragement of fracking.
Yeah, Dear Governor Cuomo is a lot of music. It's probably the most fun of the five
Merchant,
movies we've mentioned.
Yeah.
You said dear Governor Cuomo. Is
yes.
that the name?
Dear Governor Cuomo by John Bauermaster.
Uh-huh.
Triple Divide, and you can look that on the internet. That's by Josh Pribinac and Melissa Troutman. Josh Fox's Gasland and Gasland Part 2.
And Split Estate is from Bullfrog Films. And
okay, thank you so much for that.
Yeah. All right, thank you. 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Rose in Flemington.
Hi, Rose in Flemington.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've been following you for weeks. I just want to make a couple of quick observations for those of us who may live in the country or... You know, in the country, it's so easy to plant in a berm fashion evergreens. And the fastest growing one is something called Thuja giganteum. It grows 3 foot a year. Deer and bugs won't bother it.
Hmm.
And you don't have to dig down to put in a windbreak. I live in the windy corner of an apartment house here in Flemington that just leaks air something fierce.
Huh.
Hmm. I've managed to go out and get a lot of curtains from, you know, kind of things, fancy sales where they have all sorts of good stuff. Hung them up, and I've put old sheets behind them or old towels. We've got to understand that...
Is it an apartment that you're in?
Yeah, it's an apartment, mm-hmm. and I have wall-to-wall curtains now in my living room on the north and west wall. I have double shears.
What's the structure made of? What are the walls?
Some kind of rubbish, you know. It's a brick
I have a question. Have you checked what the difference in your energy bills after having done all this? How much money are you saving?
Unfortunately, I'm a blind person, and I really don't even know what I pay. But I just want to get some ideas across is that there are really simple things to be done. For example, if you put one shear at a cafe height, That allows the sun to come in the afternoon, and then take another one and put it on rings above it, you know, so you can trap that heat in at night. Another thing is cook with a crock pot. Sounds weird, but if you put that in your house and just cooking beans or meat or whatever you're cooking, overnight, it warms the house with very, very little trickle of heat if you put it on low. Another thing is space blankets. You can put space blankets behind your drapes. You can put them on your mattress, under the mattress pad. You reflect the heat back to you. And those who live in the country, of course, can make their own solar hot water panels. They can be made from copper pipes with plywood, or you can use black garden hose.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Rose, the suggestions are excellent, and it's kind of interesting to bring the policy changes that we've been talking about with the ban on governor's ban on fracking with individual choices, because I think we need both.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly need both, although I would like to put the accent back on fracking.
Okay, that's okay. Fine. Yeah. Another quickie is, what about all that wind on the highways? We have so many trucks and cars going, mm-hmm. that wind is going nowhere. We can save that wind. We can use that wind. Well, listen, guys.
It's distributing the wind energy that you capture on the highway, and the loss factor and the expense of capturing that can be enormous. So
there's all sorts of things
that need to be looked at.
How about lighting locally with it then? You know, don't have to ship it to Djibouti, you know?
What we really need is that we need people to take personal responsibility and do and energy efficiency, and the suggestions you have are fabulous, but we also need to work in a much larger way. We need to work on legislation. We need to get people to realize that having a wind farm, not just having a solar farm, having big energy projects can really change the world. All right, we have the Mark Jacobson study,
the Solutions Project
has shown it's not a blueprint for what we can do. It's suggestions of things we can do, and the energy is there. We have the capability. The only reason why the fossil fuel industry is existing as it is because they get millions and billions of dollars of subsidies. If you gave one-tenth mm-hmm. that amount of subsidies to solar and geothermal and verdant energy, which is wave energy, we would solve all the world's problems. There's enough sun in the world. There's enough wind. There's enough wave action that we could solve the world's problems.
Well, we have a status quo that is driven by profits from fossil fuel. I mean, fossil fuel has been historically an extremely efficient, concentrated way to distribute energy. We have to move away from it. We know it. It's going to take an enormous amount of work. The issue is, I think Bill McKibben did a great job in his book, Oil and Honey, when basically he compared he created the notion that, you know, if you have a honey-based economy, you might not want to have a discussion with the bees about moving off honey. We now have an oil-based economy. The people that are in the status quo, the people that are controlling all of those profit flows, they are not the sorts of people that you really want to have those decisions. The people have to reclaim their ability to make those decisions.
The Industrial Revolution, which thankfully was powered by oil and gas, and it served its purpose at the time, but by itself put people out of jobs. It put it changed industries and whole industries, the whole hatting industry.
And we got to do it again.
And there has to be. We can't say that what was good for progress in one generation isn't good for progress now. We need to. Our progress has to be now, saving the planet. And there was a need for oil and gas then. I have a conservative friend who likes to make comments on my Facebook page. And it's like, well, the liberals have really made a mess of it now. It's like, excuse me, everybody else is celebrating and you're finding... But the it's like people are need to know that everything that they felt that was important before isn't important anymore. We do have solutions. We don't have to be a fossil fuel based organization, and it doesn't have to happen overnight.
Yeah, and we don't have to have the solution right now. We just have to know. We just have to all, you know, realize that it's time to shift away.
It's nice that your conservative friend
those energies.
Is willing to sacrifice somebody else's property values and somebody else's air and somebody else's water.
Oh, he thinks it's all a lie. I want him to
take the Vera Scroggins fracking tour. Let them see it for themselves. Well, let's take another listener call. 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, it was a great victory.
If you're on speakerphone, please get off the speakerphone.
Oh, listen, I'm sorry. I can't. Just give me a quick second. I know that I wish I could get off it. My phone is broken. I get off it. There's nobody here but me, but sorry if you can't hear me that well. But my point, I heard you say something about fracking in New Jersey. Are they fracking in New Jersey?
The fracking gas is going through New Jersey.
The pipes are passing through.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Thanks for the info. That's why the radiation. But my other point is that, you know, if you didn't know any better, you would think for sure that we're being attacked by another species because the poisoning our water. That you stop the fracking in New York.
We've met the enemy. It is us.
If you think it's us, it's not me.
Well, that is a relief.
You could call yourself one of the us, but these people that we gave this oil to, because they could drill a hole in the ground, now all of a sudden they own all the oil in the world?
Yeah, it was Dick Cheney. They talked about him in the last hour.
Well, I'm going to have to let you go because of the sound, but thanks for calling.
One last thing, please. Don't turn wind power, solar power, into a monopoly that we're trying to get out of now. Don't make big wind farms and big things like that one person can own. That's insanity. Put little things on all your houses. Do that kind of stuff. You're going to go from one king to another.
I know what you're saying.
Well motivated.
Small wind. Whoops.
Decentralized.
Bad sound.
Decentralized.
Small wind, small solar. The one of the problems is that people who are doing small solar and in states like Florida,
right.
The Sunshine State, they're actually telling people that they're fining people when they're off of the utilities. They're trying to discourage people from going small solar in their on their own homes.
If you don't pay your electricity bill in Florida, and the electric company turns off your electricity, now they just force you to go off grid. So who broke the law?
Well, I mean, it's totally possible. There was this very well publicized story about this woman in Florida, and she was fine going off the grid until somebody wrote an article about her and she went public, and then she went to jail. They actually sent her to jail for not using the utilities. All right, so it's scary.
212-209-2900. You're on the air. Are you there? You're not there. All right, 212-209-2900. Lines are open. And all the people who said they were going to call.
It's late.
212-209-2900.
I'd like to at least make a suggestion. What was it? January 7th was the state of the state, and that had been or still is. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a celebration rally in Albany, but in their infinite wisdom, the folks of, I guess, FERC and Port Ambrose, Liberty, whoever, you know, whoever's involved in picking dates to have public hearings.
FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. It's a federal agency that approves pipelines. It approves them all.
A.K.A. the rubber stamp machine, right? My understanding is that the public scoping or whatever the public hearing is, the next public hearing or one of the few remaining public hearings is on that date, and it might be a good, it might behoove us to get a crowd of people at that hearing.
It's in Jamaica, Queens.
They made it as like far away as they could.
There's a lot of subway lines that go to Jamaica, Queens. So
it was near Kennedy Airport. Right.
Yeah, and I think it's after work. It's like 6 o'clock after normal, work, you know, regular working hours. 6 o'clock.
So Cuomo may have ended up packing the FERC hearing on the 7th.
Right.
Instead of a lot of buses going to Albany, they'll be taking subways to Jamaica. 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Yes. Good morning. I'm listening to the show, and I wanted to make a couple of points. This has to do with the export of oil from the Middle East. If you read anything, something called the Shork Report, which is one of those journals that actually deal with oil brokers, it explains the dynamics of the Suez Canal. And, of course, when the oil is coming through the Straits of Hormuz from that part of the world and then around and into that part of the world to be distributed through the Mediterranean, it has to go through checkpoints. There are issues. Not using the canal is an expensive thing. It adds money to the cost of oil. It's the shipping industry, of course, that, again, benefits from this. What you're dealing with, naturally, is a way of the price of oil being inflated artificially due to the issues surrounding the transport. Other issues, of course, that deal with the size of the Suez actually deal with the fact that you cannot get the deadweight tonnage, the very large tanker deadweight tonnage. I don't know which class it is, but it's a large class of shipper. You can't get through. They've never really configured the Suez Canal when they well could have done so. But deferring to a concept where they use something called Sumex, which is a pipeline that runs from the base of the Red Sea out into the Mediterranean, just to the right of Libya.
I'm not sure what your point is that you're leading up to.
I'm talking about how crude oil that comes in from the Middle East is usually priced based on the tanker industry and the transport industry.
Okay.
And this, again, lends itself to the attraction to fracking and to saying, well, we can produce here through Excel, that we can actually create a more competitive, more robust set of pricing. If you dealt with the situation in the Middle East a little bit clearer.
How do we remove power from the international global oil industry to manipulate energy globally? I mean, how do we shut that down? Because that is going to go on for eternity until there's no more oil and we're all sick and dying, right?
Absolutely.
So how do you stop that? What's your solution?
And the Energy Information Agency is declaring that domestic gas prices are going to be so low that it's not going to be cost effective. I mean, we really have to think about the money here. We can talk about the transportation. We can talk about the price of gas and oil, but
we're paying far too little for oil. If oil is a horror, then any price below a horrible price is too cheap. So we're burning too much of it.
There's no doubt, and that's absolutely correct. But if you get back to the basis of the movement of the crude, you know, from overseas, and again,
Those are market forces. We need to talk about
New York City and what we can do here. And if we want to bring it back home, we want to bring it back to what we can do and how we can affect. We can't really affect the tankers. We can't really affect. We can affect the choices of people to.
We can stop Port Ambrose.
We can stop.
We can increase the prices by causing people to go around.
Right.
our people.
That's what we need to work on.
We can also use less in the first place, right, so that demand is down. When the demand is down,
these are cultural forces.
That changes the price, also changes the profit level and everything else. And of course,
we can create
lowering the demand puts money in our pockets.
A carbon tax too.
Well, certainly, but you've noticed, of course, the price of crude, the OPEC adjustment, and the lowering of the price of crude.
Yeah.
And now that actually poses a great threat to people who want to frack, because suddenly they don't need to frack.
I know.
But they haven't stopped fracking. In the Bakken oil field in North Dakota, they have not stopped.
No, just they're storing it like crazy. Yeah. They're putting it in all kinds of buckets.
They're creating surpluses. Absolutely.
They're huge. They're trying to hold on to it because they're hoping the prices will go up so that when they release it, they'll get more money.
And by the way,
we have to remove these market forces, obviously, unless we want to be whipped around by them all the time.
In a hurry to sell this stuff to Europe, because Europe is reducing its need for fossil fuel by increasing the amount of renewable energy that they're using and increasing the efficiency of the homes they live in and the offices they work in. When those buildings are more efficient,
because fuel was dear for them.
Yeah, 90%. Because we subsidize fuel here.
Yeah.
So our tax money goes into the price. So you're paying
cheap
for
oil.
So whatever you pay for oil and gas, you're also paying through it with your tax money as well, whether you're using it or not.
Right.
And in Europe, they don't do that.
And all the externalities, all of the health, negative health consequences.
Yes. And again, in Europe, they have public health, so it's in their best interest to lower health costs. Where here, we like to raise health costs because there's people profiting off of people's bad health. You know, they don't study the parts of our body that keep us healthy. They study the parts of our body that make us sick, because that's what they profit off of. So there's a lot of aspects of the profit motive that are messing us up. And that is why you know, the organization System Change, Not Climate Change, and I wish Pete or somebody from that group would call in.
Peter Rowe.
Makes a great point. The entire system of make more energy, buy more energy, sell more energy, instead of live better. An energy-efficient home is about as comfortable a home as you can possibly have, because it's never overheated, it's never overcooled, it's never over-anything.
The passive house technology. Go to YouTube and do a search on passive house, P-A-S-S-I-V-E, passive house.
Yeah, it's a wonderful technique for building, and that's why
it was developed here in the U.S.
In Illinois.
And it seems like the kids love it.
I mean, the kids are studying this stuff now.
After decades, but no problem in Germany. They took 1 out of 10 new homes are passive house.
And, I think it was 1 out of 10. It's actually more.
More now?
More now. Yeah, they keep increasing the number because anybody who lives in one is telling everybody how great it is.
Mm.
You know, they have no energy costs.
This is like 90% less energy. And it doesn't cost much more to build.
So imagine your energy bills are $100 a month and now suddenly they're 10. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Someone is telling me today, it can be done with new buildings, of course, but it can also be done with retrofitting. But somebody was telling me tonight that they don't think that it works very. It's too expensive to do retrofitting. I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways of retrofitting. It is no longer against the law to put insulation on the outside of a building, the cost of retrofitting has gone down tremendously. And take one more call, 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Yes, I actually want to find out, let's say, in a perfect, ideal economic situation environment where there's stability for the next 5, 10, 15 years. We're discussed the different scenarios. Let's think of the ideal scenario, the perfect scenario. The grass is green, the sky is blue. This technology that you just discussed, what can we see? Let's in a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, versus if we don't do it. And thank you. I'll take the answer off of you.
All right. Thank you for that call.
I don't have a 5-year plan.
Well, we have Plan NYC.
First, do no harm.
Well, yeah.
But NYC for 2030.
You got to keep your mom warm, our mom and dad.
Well, I would
warm.
Say that the immediate is to make all our buildings use less energy and get more mass transit. Make more efficient cars.
Mass
but
transit
especially,
is just such a shame in this country, isn't it?
And it takes basically the equivalent of an entire gas station to get a 747 into the air. So take an entire gas station and set it on fire, and that's the equivalent of putting a 747 into the air. And about half of the flights are just a few hundred miles in distance. So all of that can be replaced by trains, which take you from midtown to midtown in less time than getting to the airport, going through all that rigmarole, getting to the next airport, and then getting into Center City from there. The FAA has a lot of ex-Air Force involved in it, and they've managed to squelch the turbo trains that were being built in the 70s. In order to get high-speed rail, you have to weld the track. You know that ba-dum, 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 that a train makes. That's from unwelded track, right? Each piece of track is making that noise.
Sure.
So when you weld them together, it enables the train to go faster.
Hmm.
But you also have to get rid of the overpasses and underpasses, which also slow the train down. And in the 70s, the late David Ferguson clued me in about it when I did a transportation show. He was on the first turbo train trip from New York to Boston. And there were either four or five overpasses and underpasses that hadn't been put in, though the track was welded, because the FAA stepped in and go, no, you can't ruin airline company profits by having people take trains. So never mind the climate be damned, expenses be damned, convenience, everything else. They are protecting profits.
My 5-year plan would include some sort of a carbon tax, revenue neutral, so it goes back to the, whatever the tax is, you get the money, and then it's your choice whether you spend it on carbon. And if you don't, you're ahead, and it's revenue neutral, or just the cost of printing the checks. Or
I would like to see the everything in the Green Scissors report taken care of. GreenScissors.com. There's environmental groups, taxpayer groups, citizen groups.
Climate lobby.
It's a lot of different organizations, including conservative organizations, that looked at the amount of tax subsidies to pollute and damage our health.
Right.
And every year they put out a report with $200 billion of tax subsidies to corporations like ExxonMobil. And they certainly don't need the money. And so think of what can be done with that tax money. And why are we giving it to companies that don't need it, that hurt us? So that's another thing that could be done pretty much immediately. Take away the tax subsidies. And Amory Lovins points out, take away the tax subsidies for fossil fuel, nuclear, and renewables, and watch renewables outcompete fossil fuel and nuclear. Because how can you compete with free fuel?
And it's not necessarily free. I mean, there's development. There's people working in the industries to create it. All right, the solar is not free. You have to buy the solar panels. You have to pay regulations to.
But eventually it's free.
Yeah, but it.
And your fossil fuel is never free. Yeah, you always have to buy new fossil fuel.
You pay for the systems in 5, 10, 20 years,
and it pays for itself in big time.
Yeah.
And so.
But one thing we have to worry about, talking about a 5-year plan. On the other side, if we don't take action now, we have the 350.org and Bill McKibben. It talks about and we're way past 350, by the way, is the
parts
number of the parts per million of
carbon dioxide.
Atmosphere.
That what it does
we're 400
is
now we're right we're at
410
yeah
or 415
yeah. What that does is there is definitely naturally occurring methane in the air, and there's man-made methane in the air. What happens is that the warmer the planet gets, just by a degree, you warm up the oceans. The further north they are, the cold oceans are keeping the methane, which is decomposed organic matter, is keeping it frozen down below the sea.
Yeah, you're looking at potential runaway effects.
As it gets a little warmer, it's coming up.
It becomes
something where we can't stop it, because a little warm here makes more methane
Tipping point.
Yeah. Thank you for the term.
It's the same thing with the methane in the permafrost.
Oh, right. The permafrost.
The Arctic permafrost has a lot of methane in it, and that's melting as well.
So if we don't stop it now, it becomes something that we can't stop. And that's, I'm sorry, but that's a scary, that's a really scary notion.
Yeah. Yeah, we really don't have a choice, and yet somehow there's enough politicians who are making the choices.
So what's our 5-year plan? The caller.
So get rid of the tax subsidies.
Carbon tax.
Make our houses more energy efficient.
Break up Citibank with that Citigroup. Senator Warren's suggestion is that, do we go into that side? Is that part of energy?
Is
capitalism
United,
is Wall
right?
Street?
Well,
are these breeder
the
reactors?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Follow the money. Yeah.
It's got to be part of it, I would think.
Yeah. So there's a lot of
system change on climate
solutions.
Change.
There really are a lot of solutions, and it really takes political will. And in New York City, we have some elected officials who actually have that political will. And we have 20 minutes left. There's somebody waiting on the line patiently 212-209-2900. You're on the air.
Hey, JK.
Hey, JK.
You know, we've been calling all night, just letting you know.
Good.
Yeah.
That means there's a lot of people calling.
Yay. So I just want to put in a word for putting it together as was just said. Do we bring in the question of breaking up Citibank, and do we do. We bring it all in. We bring in climate justice.
Yeah. Mm.
First and foremost, we have to bring in climate justice.
Here, here.
Because everybody's needed here. We all have to work together, and we have to work for each one of us. And we bring in the unions. And that brings me to something. I went to a labor climate conference yesterday. And the room was broken up into tables, into circles. And the first circle I saw was infrastructure. So those have been fighting pipelines. The word infrastructure pulled me right in. And I realized later that what that circle was offering jobs to repair New York City's leaky gas infrastructure.
Ah.
And there was the dilemma. What do we tell these guys who are looking for work to save the climate, to keep the gas from emitting? I mean, where I live in Manhattan is the highest level of methane leakage in the whole borough. So what do we tell these guys? Do we tell them, we don't want you to fix these leaky pipes because that's just going to ensure the flow of gas for years and years to come?
I don't think the answer is really obvious.
I think repairing the pipes is important because the flow of methane is going to be there whether the pipes are fixed or not. So while that flow of methane is happening, it should be going through the pipes.
You could set up a program that says at a certain level of emission, you do not repair it, and you replace all of the energy needed by those customers with another form of energy.
Yeah.
It may not be practical for the next decade or two. I don't know, but you don't have to keep repairing infrastructure for a product that we don't wish to be burning, and we really are, you know.
Exactly the dilemma.
We can burn 20% of what we already know we have.
Yeah, but it's already not fixed, and the methane is still flowing. So I think repairing
it. So shut it off is the question.
we can't shut it off until the alternative is put in place. And there's not quite enough biodiesel to replace it, but solar thermal could replace an awful lot of the gas needs. And if we make the buildings incredibly efficient, as passive house techniques could do, then the rest of our energy use could be done through renewables, and we would be 100% renewable. And then we could we could actually cook with or heat with electricity. It's all very, very possible, but it would take a while and take political will.
So one thing we could direct is we could help these guys get training in solar thermal technology, which isn't all that complicated anyway.
And if they know how to do pipes, then they would know how to connect a solar thermal pipe to the heating and hot water system of a home.
And they'd have plenty of work. Right?
Yes, and they'd have plenty of work. If the million buildings in New York were all installed with solar thermal, and solar thermal can actually be done with some shading, while shading will interfere, can interfere quite a bit with photovoltaic, which is electricity, it doesn't interfere nearly as much with solar thermal, which is heat and hot water from the sun.
Right.
So, yeah, there's plenty of work for them.
It was a great conference yesterday. And the other thing I wanted to bring up is I was tempted to go up and celebrate and thank Cuomo too, but in my gut, I didn't really want to thank the guy.
No.
Because
we feel you.
He directed the Department of State of New York State to let the Rockaway pipeline go through. Now, in an unusual circumstance, the Department of State could have actually overruled FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. They could have actually done that. Huh. He didn't. He could have, by now, with a few simple words, stopped Liberty Port Ambrose.
He still can.
Christie did.
He still can.
He can get up tomorrow and he can veto it.
Christie did it twice already.
Right.
Christie.
Right.
Why? He said it was too dangerous for the people.
Christie can do it tomorrow too.
Yeah, Christie can do it too.
JK, I have a question.
Yeah.
The union conference you went to yesterday, are you going to be reporting in detail at tonight's New York City Safe Energy Coalition meeting?
Oh, tonight already. Yeah.
Yeah, it is tonight. Yeah, I know. I think I wonder how exhausted I'm going to be at that meeting.
I don't know. I'm staying up for you.
and I guess now that I've mentioned it, that meeting is, we sort of start with socializing and potluck at 6:30. The meeting starts promptly at 7, and all of them have.
How many people are in that group? I haven't been yet.
15 to 30, right?
Yeah, 15 to 30.
How long have you been meeting?
Just since right after the climate march.
Oh, wow.
It's a pretty
brand
new group.
Brand new.
And the three goals are to shut down Indian Point, grow the renewable energy industry, and make buildings more energy efficient. And we're meeting at 11 Park Place on the 7th floor. Park Place is right near City Hall. It's right off Broadway. So 11 Park Place, 6:30 tonight. And Hope to see some of you there.
For people who are listening to this archived, it's every other Thursday night.
Very good. Yes. Yeah, we're skipping January 1st and then going back to every other Thursday.
And are you?
Day. Yes. JK is one of the polar bears who goes into the water.
And are you folks fighting the Algonquin pipeline as a natural Indian Point incendiary device? I call it. I find it an abomination to tie these tribal names with the fracking industry.
The indigenous people are being attacked on all fronts.
Yeah,
honoring their lands. They're putting pipelines through their lands.
Yeah, the treaties that we've violated. It's just a horror for a lot of reasons. But then to see them use the Algonquin name is just terrifying. Well, not terrifying. The actual pipeline, the Algonquin pipeline, Spectra, I call it the fracking monstrosity pipeline, 42-inch diameter, 850 PSI, fracking gas pipeline to make landfall right near Indian Point. Some of your audience may be familiar with the San Bruno blast in California that knocked out
August 2010.
Yeah, just a devastating explosion. And that, I think, was like a 30-inch pipeline. This is a behemoth that for whatever reason, they're bringing in Inverplank, you know, Westchester's sacrifice zone. You know, I don't see Scarsdale or White Plains or other towns in Scarsdale saying, oh, why should we allow this pipeline yet another horrendous sacrifice for the people of Verplank and Buchanan that already have the Indian Point. You know, why don't we take it in other communities in Westchester? I don't hear a lot of that.
Well, we have a pipeline that's going through the West Village, historic part of and There's so much fight against it, and yet it still went through.
And it's not to serve the local area. It's not to serve us.
Right.
It's just a blow through to get to foreign markets.
Right. Not to mention
we don't need to support that.
The pipeline through our national park.
Right. Right. Well, you're talking about the Rockway. There's another park that they want for
Algonquin. In a flood zone.
Yeah.
Right,
pipeline
right.
Under the sand.
A national park, a flood zone, and a 30-inch high-pressure pipeline. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. And a Flatbush Avenue. Yeah.
It's amazing the arrogance that they have. But they know that agencies like FERC are going to approve whatever they want. And
they've never
legal.
Met a pipeline they didn't like.
You know, Jersey City sued FERC because their budget depends on the number of projects they certify. They said, well, that's a conflict of interest. How can you regulate something if your budget and your staff depends on you approving it? So conflict of interest, Jersey City lost in court because it's legal.
I'm so glad the health team that Cuomo used was his commissioner's, was Joseph Martins and Dr. Zucker. At least with FERC, they're using industry scientists and leaders. I mean, of course, guess who's paying their paycheck?
Right.
You've got to follow the money.
May I give a plug to the organization that's fighting the Algonquin? SAPE2016.org. This is Stop the Algonquin Pipeline, SAPE2016.org. I encourage everybody to go there. Also
NoLNGCoalition.org is another organization. And also StopThePipeline.org.
And StopPilgrimPipeline.org. That called Stop Pilgrim Pipeline.
A good repository for a lot of these projects in our area is Sane Energy's site, saneenergyproject.org.
Right. And DamascusCitizens.org is another great repository.
What's the Seneca Lake one again? Save Seneca Lake?
No,
we are
Seneca Lake.com.
Yeah.
And also Gas Free Seneca, I think.
The Pilgrim Pipeline is a wonderful citizen success story. Because they want to build another high-pressure pipeline, this one from Albany to Linden, New Jersey.
That's liquids, right? That's Bakken liquid oil,
and
I think? Or?
17 municipalities so far have passed bans on that pipeline. They realize that they're going to take people's property from eminent domain. They're going to endanger the people who live there. And all these people, they're having town meetings, and they're passing these bans. It's amazing watching one after another. It shows, you know, people united.
People united can never be defeated.
Yeah, and Pilgrim Pipeline is kind of showing that. And
the anti-fracking movement.
We're almost at the end of this show.
Has shown that.
So I want to thank Donna Stein and New York City Friends of Clearwater. What's your website?
NYCFriendsOfClearwater.org.
And Kevin O'Neill with United for Action, unitedforaction.org. But I'm really up in Westchester, really fighting the Algonquin Pipeline now and fighting on behalf of Stop the Algonquin Pipeline, SAPE2016.org.
And it occurs to me, I do Ecologic here on BAI Alternate Tuesdays, and I have a website with links, and I will link to all these organizations. So on my Ecolinks page, I'll put this date and all these links.
Ecologic has just been amazing. It's a great show.
Well, thank you.
We really appreciate it. A lot of us love it.
And coming up next is Burn Baby Burn with Lister. So I'm going to go out with a Joel Landy song, which is kind of part of our little celebration.
I'd also like to dedicate this win on a personal level to two friends we recently lost.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Corona, social environmental justice creative songwriter, and David Ferguson, a tireless writer and fighter for saving New York and the rest of us from the rest of the land from fracking.
Thank you for that, Don, and thanks, J.K., for finally getting through. Okay, and you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Ken Gale. The next Ecologic goes international. Sea level rise from the global warming part of climate chaos is literally submerging many Pacific Island nations. How are they coping? Listen to the next Ecologic on Tuesday, December 23rd at 8 p.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Things in your water that will poison the folks that you know. If you want to drink chemical cocktails that will light up your faucet and blow. If you want to depopulate neighborhoods, bringing property values to smash. If you thought about giving your future to gas in exchange for a small pile of cash. Something that I want to tell you, if you want to stay healthy and free, don't frack with me, don't frack with me, go find some other biz, leave the shale as it is, don't frack with me, don't frack with me, don't frack with me. If you think that by this education I am being mean and unfair, remember there is no separation in our land and our water and air. Did you know we are not allowed to know what they put in the chems that they use to chew up the soil so the gas will come out, legal secrets to hide and abuse? Doesn't that make you suspicious? Haven't these companies lied before? And there's nothing that gives anyone rights to poison their neighbors next door. If it's hard to believe what I'm saying, take a good look around and you'll see. There's a cost for the price we've been paying. To pass on this natural gas. Don't frack with me, don't frack with me. Don't frack with me. Make your bold honest stand for the water and land. Don't frack with me. Now I know you may be tempted. Times may be very hard. They will put the money in your hands in this rigged game of cards. Halliburton and all of the others will hire the men and the boys to take the soul out of the earth and leave the smell and noise. But you don't have to play this game. You're not alone this time. The Gulf Rig taught us many things about greed and corporate crime. And now the moment's up to you. Who do you choose to be? In your heart you know what's right. Trust it and you'll be free. And don't frack with me. Don't frack with me. See through the lies and be brave, organize. Don't frack with me. Don't frack with me. Don't frack with me. Make your bold, honest stand for the water and land. Don't frack with me. Make your bold, honest stand for the water and land. Don't frack with me.
And you're tuned to Radio Station WBAI 99.5 FM New York.
Don't frack with me.
WBAI.org.
When I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips, I am. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am.
Jim Freund will be back where he belongs, right here at 99 Cinco next week, same place, same time. Ken Dale celebrating the victory of Don't Frack With Me right here at 99 Cinco. List Alive, Bird Baby Bird.
The red, white, the blue, I'm not Captain America. Too black, too strong, causing mass hysteria. Trying to reach my freedom of speech and expressing myself. Torching the symbol of oppression. Let that be a lesson to those that want suppression of the truth. Put on hold, the bold lose control. So they force obedience. Have you pledge allegiance to a piece of cloth? That's off the way I see it. Well, I'm going off berserk. Cause the system works. Jerk, my people, the people all around the pigs work. Tell me I'm wrong, though. That's my right in this writing. The Constitution, yo, that's an illusion. Huh, suckers trying to change and rearrange. They say that I'm free, but they sure have a strange way of showing it. But I'm blowing the cover. The red, white, the blue, but the black for the brother. And I'm the lover of this flag. Like many others take the same turn. Like me, they yearn for the flag too. Born the material of the imperialist in a blazing inferno. Cause my hurt is internal. The American dream, a nightmare. I want the people to wake up to the lies, the pigs make up. Imperialistic swans that I grind into bacon bits. Call the fist, cause I ain't taking shit. I'm not a Nazi or a Cappy or a Farmy, but you want me in prison? Cause I'm messy attack. The flag, I rag it and snag it and drag it and rip it to shreds. Cause I'm too black, too strong, too red, too dread. And I'm dreaded cause I make the pigs tremble when I burn a symbol. Yo, I'm quick and nimble like Jack, but I'm a black man attacking the flag. I keep my torch handy, I'm no Yankee Doodle Dandy. So just hand me a flag from the fastest and watch me burn that piece up to ashes. Cause the real meaning is what the message must learn. That's why the red, white, and blue must burn, baby, burn. Let's find the people who hate this. These are the places we'll hit.
Panama, talking about Peru, Azania, Brixton, Belfast, can't forget Korea, Beirut,
Haiti, Iran, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Mexico. Talk about uptown Harlem, New York City, y'all. And Nicaragua, East and South Central LA, California, IA, Miami. Do or die, Bed-Stuy. Never ran, never will, Brownsville. Boogie down, South Bronx, yeah.
My man Joey to jail, and now they got him in court because he burned the flag. That's the name of the game. Well, I quit playing. I doubt the suckers want you to hear what I'm saying about this nation. Freedom supposed to be the format, but I step on your flag like it's a floor mat. Maiming, mangle, the star spangle. I'm not trying to diss you. I use the flag like toilet tissue to wipe my black ass. What? You think that I'm a jackass? I see a flag and I attack fast with some fire. My desire to burn what Betty Ross sold up. The truth I show up about America, America, home of the brave, land of the free. Boom! This is the home of the slave. Now hold on, just a mother minute. You gave me freedom of speech in the First Amendment. So why the wanna stole me? When I touch the flag, I'm only doing what you told me. You don't like it, so what? I'm not scared of you. Your flag, America too. See, I made up this new rule and I want y'all to learn it. Strike a match to the American flag and burn.
It's you, it's you, it's you.